According to Luke. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to God, as it is written in God's law, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to God. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in God's law, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen God's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign God, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. And Jesus' father and mother were amazed at what was being said about their child. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, Jesus' mother, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of God, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of Christ. During my Christmas Eve sermon, I said that the nativity stories about the birth of Jesus of Nazareth are parables that are carefully crafted by gospel storytellers to make us think. And this morning we have another parable that is also carefully crafted to make us think. The question 21st century listeners of this parable may well ask is, what is it that the gospel storytellers want us to think about this parable, which is often referred to as the presentation of Jesus, or the presentation in the temple? One ancient way of discovering the meaning in a parable is to tell another parable alongside the first, and allow the second parable or story to interpret the first. It's been done for centuries. It's also a method that Jesus of Nazareth employed when he was trying to shed light on biblical stories. He would tell another story, another parable. So let me tell you a story. It's a parable, really, about a little boy who wanted to meet God. I've been trying to find the source of this parable. Many, many people claim it as their own. I found at least a dozen different authors who were claiming that this was their parable. So I think it's one of those things that's just been handed down, and we won't know who came up with it in the first place. But nonetheless, it's a parable about a little boy who wanted to meet God. The little boy knew it was a very long trip to where God lives. So he packed his suitcase with some tubes of Smarties, because you know when you're going on a long journey, you need Smarties, and some cans of Coke, and he set off on his quest to meet God. When the little boy had gone half a mile or so, he met an old woman. She was sitting in the park just staring at some pigeons. The boy sat down next to the old woman, and he opened up his bag. And the little boy was about to take a drink from one of his cans of Coke when he noticed that the old lady looked hungry and sad. So he offered her some of his Smarties. The old woman gratefully accepted the Smarties and smiled at the little boy. And her smile lit up her whole face. It was so lovely. The boy wanted to see her smile again, so he offered her some Coke. And once again, the old woman smiled at him. And the little boy was delighted. They sat there all afternoon, eating and smiling, but they never said a word. As it grew dark, the boy realized how tired he was, and he was about to leave. But before he'd gone more than just a few steps, he turned around, ran back to the old woman, and gave her a great big hug. And the old woman gave him her biggest smile. When the little boy opened the door to his own house a short time later, his mother was surprised by the look of joy on his face. And she asked him, "What did you do today that's made you so happy?" And the little boy declared, "I had lunch with God." And before his mother could respond, he added, "You know what? She's got the most beautiful smile I've ever seen." Meanwhile, the old woman, also radiant with joy, returned to her home. And her son was stunned by the look of peace on his mother's face, and he asked, "Mother, what did you do today that's made you so happy?" And the old woman replied, "I ate Smarties in the park with God." And before her son could respond, she added, "You know, God is so much younger than I had expected." Our expectations have been groomed to point us up and away, out there, somewhere far beyond the everyday clatter of our lives. Sometimes we expect that just for a moment, the sacred might pierce our reality, but for the most part, we have been trained to look away, far, far away, for God. At other times, when we're in need, we summon up the sacred in the guise of a God all dressed up in majesty, strength, wisdom, authority, and immense power, yet gentle, loving, and attentive to our every need. Christmas, with its wondrous tales of this all-powerful, all-knowing, all-encompassing God being born in the humility of a stable, opens us to the wonders of what generations before us have called the incarnation. Most of us are willing for just a moment to allow our images of the Almighty God to appear in the guise of a tiny baby, provided that baby is confined to a person who lived in the long ago, a past that can only touch us for but a moment and leaves us almost as quickly as our carefully decorated trees dry up. So when our families begin to disperse, we abandon the baby on the straw or leave him to be cared for by the church so that we can hurry off to our New Year's celebration. As we dash headlong into the business of ushering in the new year, the child God's impotence in the face of our very grown-up challenges is overpowering. So we tend to leave the infant God confined to the nursery we have created to house and care for our tiny image of the sacred divinity, trusting that the church can protect and nurture the image that we have created of God. As the challenges of the new year send pain, grief, poverty, and disasters to challenge us, we demand that our infant God shake off the vestiges of childhood and become once again the almighty, majestic, strong, wise authority with immense power, yet gentle, loving, and attentive to our every need, capable of piercing our reality whenever we summon up this faraway divinity of our creation. But what if our ancestors knew more than we can begin to imagine? What if this Jesus of Nazareth discovered more than the rhythm or the cycle of our year could contain? Can it be that the sacred dimensions of the reality that we call God were experienced in the life of this Jesus in ways that challenge and change human perception? Can it be that the love to which Jesus pointed, the love which Jesus embodied, the love that could not be destroyed even by death, the love that lives on in the followers of Jesus, the love that lives and breathes in, with, through, and beyond us, can it be that this love has indeed taken on flesh and lives among us, nourishing, grounding, and sustaining all that is? The parable of the presentation was carefully crafted by the gospel storyteller that we call Luke to point us toward just such a possibility. This parable points us to a reality that centuries of followers of Jesus have called the incarnation. Incarnate, to take on flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Incarnation is just a fancy way of describing the sacred, the holy, the divine in our midst. Emmanuel, God with us, God in, with, through, and beyond us. The clue in this parable, the interpretive key, if you will, is disguised in a name. Actually, in two names, maybe three. The ancient storytellers often revealed everything in the names that they chose for the characters in their stories. And the gospel storyteller known as Luke is a master of this particular art. Simeon, this name which means God has heard. The gospel storyteller identifies the baby with the hopes and the dreams of the people. Anna, the woman who sees divinity in a baby. Her name in Hebrew is Hannah. Hannah, the woman who gave birth after many long years of fearing that she would never give birth. Hannah, a mother who dedicated her son Samuel to God. Hannah, the word in Hebrew means favor or grace. More importantly, perhaps, the Anna in Luke's parable is said to be the daughter of Phanuel. And here's the interpretive key to this whole parable. Phanuel, it means, in Hebrew, the face of God. That this old woman, this Anna, could see the face of God in the baby Jesus is not a trivial detail. It is the interpretive key to the storyteller's parable, crafted to open our eyes to the face of God in a baby. The parable primes us for the miracle of incarnation. If we, like Simeon and Anna, can see the face of God in the face of a baby, perhaps we will be ready to see the face of God in the man. For the baby will grow up. That growth will happen in a world of realities that challenge the love that is born in that baby. There are those who mourn the passing of our innocence and long for us to return to the God of our own making, the one who lives up there, out there, in the far away, who is contained by our power to summon him when we need him to do what we want him to do. This personal God of our design, whom we can befriend when and how we need to, seems somehow more personal than this love who shows up in the guise of a baby, every baby. But once we begin to recognize the sacred in everyone, once we begin to recognize the love that takes on flesh and dwells among us, anyone and everyone is sacred. And that changes everything. Once we allow the baby to grow and leave the confines of the nursery, everything is different. Once we experience the sacred in the everyday stuff of life, we cannot simply pack away our Christmas decorations and expect the baby to wait for us to return next December. Out here in the world, the child will grow and mature and act in ways that we cannot control. The reality is that unless the child becomes an adult, there is no Bethlehem Star. If we are not prepared to meet divinity in the flesh, there are no wise folks searching. If we are not prepared to offer a cup of cold water to the ones this divinity inhabits, there is no gold, no frankincense, no myrrh. If there's no standing up, no speaking out, no risk-taking, there is no escape from Herod, no flight into Egypt, and no baptism in the Jordan. If we fail to see the divinity in this life, then these are just stories, and they are meaningless. If we fail to make room in our inns for the Christ who comes as one of us, then our nativity scenes mock the baby who lays in the manger, and we might as well pack up our decorations as if nothing has happened. But if, like Simeon, we can hear the angels' voices, and like Anna, we can see the face of God, then maybe, just maybe, we are ready to share our smarties with an old woman, or with a little boy, or with a troublesome stranger, or an angry radical, or a horrible abuser. If we are ready to see the face of God in those we meet, then God is here among us. Emmanuel, God with us. Incarnation, God in, with, through, and beyond us. Incarnation, God in the very stuff of life. And then everything is different. Everything is sacred. And we will not be able to treat the earth with contempt or to waste the riches of creation. And we will not be able to continue in greed or in hatred. For everything, everything is sacred. Now and always, forever and forever. Amen.